Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Before I forget, because I usually do, you may reach me with whatever comment that you may have. Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. That's Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. As always, we have a lot to talk about, but before we get into some things, I do want to encourage you to listen to the Sunday morning program. This program, some people get on Friday. This is being taped on Thursday evening, the October 2nd. Some people will get it on Saturday, and some people get it, well, whenever they get it, because it goes out on a blast email. The Sunday morning program comes out on Saturday through various channels, and goes out to people on Saturday for Sunday, but I want you to hear it. I really encourage you to hear it just because there's some changes that we're contemplating here, thinking about, praying about. Comes down to not what more can I do, because I don't think I can do more, but what can I do better? And it's a bit about this program, but it also is a message to each and every one of you about what can you do better. You think I can do no more? Maybe you can't do any more for the kingdom of God. But we can all do better at what we do for the kingdom of God. And that's what I am dealing with, looking at the possibility of maybe going to video, maybe collapsing the two programs back to one, because I can't separate the two anyway. Having guests, this is a little bit down the road, because everything I've told you about, I don't know anything about. I need a lot of help and somebody to set this up for me. And well, you get the idea. Maybe I've done this the way I've done it because am I lazy? Am I an old dog that can't be taught new tricks? Well, I may be older, but I'm ready to get younger. Okay. All right. So we start with good news in this program. Try to end with good news. And I'm going to do some different stories. There's so much in the media about so many things going on, it's really hard to bring them into one program. But I'm going to try, and I'm going to focus on some things that are really a pickup or a part two of from last week. But the good news is, you might think this is, it doesn't really matter to me. Well, it does matter to a lot of people, maybe your kids, your grandkids, your friends' children, and that is accountability in education. And this comes down to, and why is it the good news? Because we actually do have four states. Yes, only four out of 50 states who are doing verifiable, quantifiably better at educating the kids. Now, this is all government schools. I get that. But some states are more conservative than others, and they have different ways. And this is why, and I've said this for a long time, under no circumstances should education be left to Washington, D.C. There should not be a federal policy. This whole idea of shutting down the Department of Education and defunding them was not new with Trump. I've been saying it for 15 to 20 years. I have never wavered from that. I recognize them as the source of the problem. The schools and the media. Those are the two sources of the problem, and they complement each other in their evil. People have kids that don't know the Lord, have gone sideways because they went to bad schools. God influenced, God indoctrinated. And that's the way of American education, for the most part, but for four states. But I want to give you a little bit of a background here, because some of this is what you intuitively know. I mean, Deuteronomy 6 says that we are to keep our children immersed in the Word of God, day in, day out. And they're coming in, they're going out. They're sitting down or they're getting up. And that's not happened. The schools have betrayed people. Some haven't cared. Some aren't paying attention. Some really, for whatever reason, have sort of abdicated the role of education entirely to a government institution, a government entity. We don't have public education. No, we don't. We have government education, which is usually not an education. It's an indoctrination. It's everything the government thinks that your children and grandchildren should have. I mean, Henry Ford says you can have any color car you want as long as it's black. It's pretty much what we have had. It's not public. How many things can Christians do? How much space is there for Christians in public schools these days? Virtually none. Can't pray, can't sing hymns, I guess you can pray, can't pray it out loud, can't have public Bible reading. You can't do any of these things yet. Yet it's supposedly for the public. And it's not. You see, these four states, I'm just going to tell you right out of the gate, all four states are red states. Now, that shouldn't surprise you. But I want to mention here that a number of years back, I did a story on the air about 15 Western nations that took math and science tests. A bit of a competition. The U.S., of course, was one of those 15 nations. And out of all of those countries, who finished last? This is 15 years ago. Out of the 15, or thereabouts, anyway. Definitely well over 10 years ago. Obviously less than 21, because that's the number of years I've been on the air. The United States finished dead last, 15 out of 15. And then separately queried by the ones who arranged the test of all the students, they wanted to find out from the students how they felt that they did. Who finished first in feeling that, what nation had the best feeling about how they did, how well they did? The United States. The United States students could not have felt better about how they did. They were number one in the optimism and feeling of how they did on the test when the results were number 15. And this was back when it was all about, you know, self-esteem this and self-esteem that and child of the month here and child of the month there. And if this child hasn't been child of the month ever, then for self-esteem, we better make this kid's. There was no consideration of how good or how hard somebody worked to be better than other students. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Well, we get what we vote for. And that's what has happened. Now, I'd like to say that we were at the bottom. But at an assessment from about 8 months ago, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, 12th graders were tested in reading and math. They have shown a continuing decline since COVID. No. Since 1992. 33 years. U.S. schools have been in a continuous decline in reading and math. It wasn't science. It happened to be reading and math. And the report also concluded, following a study done by the Department of Education a few years ago, found that 54% of U.S. adults, more than half of all the adults in the United States, that's 130 million people, were reading at or below sixth grade level. More than half of the U.S. would not qualify for junior high. Yikes. Well, the teachers' associations are simply nothing more than labor unions. They're not about about enhancing education. Do you know that 2% of the National Education Association budget goes to actual education? The other 97 to 98% deals with bargaining and improving benefits and so forth. And what is their goal? They are all about establishing national mediocrity. We don't really care what the score is. We just all want to be about the same. We're fine with mediocre because, well, that mediocre would be a step up. The schools suck, very clearly. And the left will tell you, because they can't deny these numbers, they will tell you that this is a result of COVID. Well, then why are we declining and other countries aren't, which also had COVID? And keeping in mind that this decline started in 1992, 28 years before COVID. Take 19-year-old Alicia Ortiz. She sued the Hartford Board of Education, and she graduated with honors from Hartford Public High School last year, and she cannot read or write. I think this is the one. I covered this maybe a month or two back. I think it's the same person whose parents were so thrilled she had graduated with honors. So they did a video, took a video of her and holding and her cap and gown and holding the diploma, and then asked her for the camera to read it. She couldn't read her own diploma. And yet she graduated with honors. If that's honors, then Hartford Public Board of Education should be sued because they are complicit in educational malpractice. Oh, my gosh. But I'm sure she's free to proclaim that she's now been able to identify what her true gender is. Now, consider Harvard, Columbia, and Princeton. Known as Ivy League schools, I call them the poison Ivy League schools. They aren't worth your tuition. But these three schools have stated that they are no longer assigning books to be read in their entirety because the students have said reading an entire book is too difficult. Well, you know, I'm spending more time on this than I thought I would, but I guess I'm feeling that it's really very important. So what are the four states that are killing it? Mississippi, Louisiana, Indiana, and Tennessee. They've all been achieving consistent improvement in their kids' scores because they do three things. They have gone back to basics. They're concerned about how the subjects are taught. And then they maintain tough standards for students and teachers. Wow. This was Tennessee guy said, hey, we've adopted higher standards, and so we're testing to those standards. Well, you look at places like California who have to lower the standards, and they keep lowering them so that the teacher unions can proclaim that they met their goal. A declining state of mediocrity, I might add. Now, these four states have also done something really good. They've worked to limit distractions, like they've banning cell phones. Tennessee has the Educators' Bill of Rights that gives teachers more authority over disruptions in the classroom. And Mississippi is one that has made the greatest gains. Now, I could also say Mississippi used to be at the bottom. In fact, one time, and this goes back a while, I saw this thing about proposed state license plate mottos. And the proposed, and this was all in jest, this is satire, but the proposed license plate motto for Alabama was simply, at least we're not Mississippi. Well, I applied to and was accepted at the University of Mississippi Law School. I did not go there, but I came close. Anyway, if you consider this as something that I'm not saying you need to move to these four states. Actually, the easier solution is get your kids out of a government school, and whatever you have to do to fund them in a private school, homeschool, combination of that, video school. My two kids were homeschooled for a couple of years through video schools. One of my sons, they're both valedictorians. No, one was salutatorian. Out of a class of 900, he was second. The other one was a smaller class, was first. And that one who was finished second out of 900 said that to this day, his favorite teacher was some guy in eighth grade on a video school out of Florida, because he learned more, and the guy was humble, and it was combined with biblical truths. So it was just a fabulous, fabulous class. So all that to say, there's a lot of work to do, but it all starts with the people listening to this program. You say, well, if I do this week, I can't take the kids to Disneyland next year, the cost. Forget Disneyland. That's a horrific place anyway. It's just sort of become the gay Gestapo arena of the world. So forget, where are the priorities? Invest in your kids and your grandchildren. Invest in them. The program on Sunday talks a bit about sowing to yourselves, actually, good things, sowing righteousness, as it says in Scripture, and reaping mercy. Well, it's okay to sow into your own family. We've long thought that the tithe, we got a tithe, it's got to go to the local church. That's actually baloney. The tithing part, I support it, but that it has to go to the local church. Sorry, I don't see that. I just don't. They say, well, give to the storehouse. Well, that's not really the storehouse biblically. The fact is, what is ministering to you, and what would you want to minister to your children or grandchildren? I don't have a problem with people taking a portion of their tithe if they have to help get a child a decent education, a Christian education. The fact of the matter is, the churches will be just fine with that which is given from the heart and cheerfully and not out of a measure of obligation. And in fact, I think the blessing on the people will be great enough so that the amount that ultimately goes to the church will be greater. Okay, I have I'm going to be traveling in a couple of weeks, and so I've done a program that's kind of timeless, dealing with the nation of Israel, which some of my listeners hate. I hear all this stuff. I mean, more today about, Charlie Kirk didn't really get assassinated. He's in hiding somewhere. That actually another one that's really Israel that killed Charlie Kirk, which of course, I mean, there's just so much incredible nonsense. I said to one person, I said, the next thing I'm going to hear is that Charlie Kirk was spotted having supper in a remote diner in Texas with Elvis. But I don't know what the truth is. I mean, I've got another piece coming up. How do we know what the truth is in the media? I mean, I've got about five messages stacked up because they just keep coming, and I can't fit them into one program here and not do and do them justice. But what I want to mention here is, as a bit of a preface to an upcoming program about Israel, is the conclusion of the UN meeting this past week. And all the nations that have now concluded that they're going to recognize a country of Palestine, the state of Palestine. Well, what is it? There's no geography. What's their coinage? What's their governing documents? They don't have any. What's their currency for that nation? Well, they don't have any. Why? Because they're not a nation. They never were, and I hope they never are. The two-state solution, which everybody talks about, is actually a two-state final solution. Yeah. Because if you look it up in Joel, I think it's chapter 3, verse 2. This is just popping in my head. I know I'm close. I don't know if that's the exact address, but I know I'm on the right street. I may be only a couple of houses away. But it said that the Lord will judge those nations that have divided my land. Oh my gosh. I'm going to judge those nations. I'm going to judge every nation that says that there ought to be a two-part nation, a two-state solution to that which was given to Israel eons ago, supported time and time again in Scripture. And I'm going through, I finished Genesis. I'm on my way through the entire world, Well, maybe it'll turn into that, but the entire book, the Bible, to document every single time God made an unalterable promise to the Jews and to the nation and to the land which God gave them, which is a what they occupy today, at least in part. So now there are far more nations in the United Nations that have gone over the Palestinian side. Support the state of Palestine. What state is that? Well, we don't really know. It's kind of somewhere down there, blah, 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 blah. Forget it. They're weak. They're feckless. They're scaredy cats. They're intimidated. Because they've just met a gazillion Muslims into their respective countries. I mean, goodness sakes, the mayor of London is Muslim. The mayor of Dearborn is Muslim, and he hates Christians, and he's told one guy to get the heck out of his city. More on that later if we get to it. But that's where it's going. They're so fearful of Islamic revenge and jihadi whack jobs, so fearful that they'll just bend and hopefully they can make it to the end of their life without getting beheaded for speaking the truth. And then what happens to the generation after that? Ah, who cares from their perspective? So just in the last week and a couple of days, these are the nations that have just recently have now recognized Palestine as a country. What country? They don't have one. France, forget them. Luxembourg, take a hike. Malta, who cares? Monaco, I don't care. Belgium, that's kind of the seat of the Antichrist, right? Head of the EU. The EU sits there. Andorra, don't care. United Kingdom, our mother, the mother that gave birth to this country. Australia, Canada, Portugal, Mexico. Well, Mexico was a little bit earlier than a week and a half ago. But these are others are all in the last, 8 or 9 days. Just in the last 8 or 9 days. So now here we are in the United States, sandwiched by two countries, Canada and Mexico, that will recognize a Palestinian state. What does that mean? Well, they're going to do trade deals with them. They'll give them visas. They'll have them coming over. There's going to be more of this bilateral action of being able to go both ways. And now we'll have just simply more Muslims on both sides of our border, both north and south. They didn't need to do that before because Joey No-Brains, Corn Pop Biden just simply let them all in. But there's some more. I'm just going to give that. These are just in the last few years. And you can decide whether or not you want to go to any of these countries on your honeymoon. Ha, think that over. Armenia. Doggone it, I like them Armenians too. Slovenia. Ireland, they're toast. One of the football players on the NFL games got mugged there last week. Norway. Spain. Bahamas. I'm not going back there because we got robbed once and we visited there. Trinidad, Tobago, Jamaica. Barbados, St. Kitts, Nevis, Colombia, St. Lucia, the Holy See, what is that? I used to think the Holy See was Lake Michigan. No, it's actually the Vatican. And this is a place where they have all kinds of security walls, fences, and so forth, but thinks that the United States should just let in anybody and everybody, alley, alley, oxen, all in free. And then finally, Sweden. These are the most recent ones. So basically, with the exception of the Netherlands, maybe a couple of others, Hungary, I think Germany's, or I mean, Europe is toast, and the Caribbean is toast. There are probably a few Caribbean places that haven't done that. I know Aruba hasn't. Aruba's essentially Dutch, and the Netherlands hasn't gone in for this, so there's two that I know of. Anyway, Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danan, I'm not exactly sure how that's pronounced, described the UN summit on Palestinian statehood as a circus, and he said that moves to recognize Palestine is essentially a reward for terrorism, of course, which is what the attack on October 7, coming up, the second anniversary, just around the corner here, in a few days. He said that this every nation that does this, Netanyahu says, this is a prize for Hamas. He says the Palestinian state will not happen. Not on his watch. And you know why? I love it when Netanyahu stands up and quotes from the Bible. Of course, it's the Old Testament. That's fine. He's saying, you know what? We got to deal with Gaza. We've got to deal with that the Palestinian issue in Gaza. And what did he do? He cited, I wasn't planning to mention this, so I didn't prepare for it, but Deuteronomy, that's in Deuteronomy. That much I know. So I'm actually not next door, but I'm in the right town on that one. And I hope he does. I'd have no problem with Gaza no longer existing as Gaza. It just becomes part of Israel because it was given to Israel originally. And why do you give back land to people who attack you, try to kill you? Why should you reward them with giving them their country back? Sorry, you lose. You lose. West Bank, annex it, baby. I don't care how many Palestinians are there. Palestinians are 90% Jordanians. They can go back to Jordan. They can go back to Egypt, except Egypt doesn't want them anyway because basically they're lazy. They suck off the tax dollars and aid. Why can't Gaza ever get by without aid? They're just a permanent self-inflicted poverty class of honestly low thinkers. They are. They're not particularly bright. They're not particularly industrious. I think Israel should annex the West Bank while they still have at least one ally, although Donald Trump has said that he has told Muslim friends or acquaintances, whatever, that he will not let Netanyahu annex the West Bank. Well, Donald, I'm sorry. You don't get to tell Netanyahu what to do. But I think the necessity for that alliance is so great that if they're going to do it, they need to do it. Might as well just get it out in the open, annex it, Gaza, and then you can fight a war and retain those properties that you were given to historically and you were given irrevocably. Because this book, I don't know if I even mentioned that, my next book that I'm working on, I am going to have every single passage in Scripture that deals with the irrevocability of God's promises, every single one. Maybe as footnotes, because some of them are just simply repetitious. So that anybody who tries to speak to the contrary would be deemed a profane idiot if they had any knowledge of Scripture at all. There is no replacement theology. The church has not replaced Israel. The book of Romans makes it very, very clear that we are Christians because the gospel went out as a result of the Jews' rejection. And as Paul states, that the blessing upon the Gentile believers was intended to make the Jews jealous in an effort to bring them back into the fold. Well, we've got are you kidding me? We're at the break? Who sped up my clock here? Hey, we'll be right back. Please listen to this. I just got launched into this.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
When Sunday mornings rolled around, we dressed up in hand-me-downs, just in time together with the church. Sometimes I think how long it's been, and how it impressed me then. It was the only day my daddy wouldn't work. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Those fertile fields are never far away. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Leaving home was the hardest thing.
Okay, well, I had to turn that up. Sorry about that, because I kind of consider that song a praise song. I love that song. Anyway, all right. Back to the real world. On November 15th, 1988, was the first Intifada, which is an uprising, violent, a pushback against what the Palestinians consider Zionist. I got a new T-shirt planned. And it's going to say I'm a zealous Zionist. Zealous Zionist. I like it. A little provocative? Well, hey. You know, Jesus provoked people with the truth, didn't he? That's why they were always after him. How many times did they try to kill Jesus? That's a good little study in the scriptures. Go through there and see how many times they try to kill him or push him off a cliff here and there. Of course, they couldn't kill him. He hadn't been made sin yet. So there was no death. I mean, you just go down to the bottom of the cliff and bounce right back up. And hello, you think I'm gone? I'm never gone. Okay, well, enough of that. But that was the first intifada under Yasser Arafat. 80 countries in 1988 quickly extended the recognition, mostly from Africa and Arab. Don't know why necessarily, but a lot of blacks don't like Jews. So apparently Candace Owen, maybe one of them. But anyway, then in 2024, the U.S. vetoed a resolution that would have granted Palestine, whatever Palestine is, full U.N. membership. They blocked it. And you say, well, Joe Biden would do that? Yes, because Joe Biden needed Jewish money for support. That's a no-brainer. So, they're trying to block what they call the illegal settlements or the occupation of Palestinian land from being adopted. Well, wait a second. This article is saying this was illegal settlements. By whose standard? Is it illegal to reassume ownership of something that was taken from you? Well, I don't think so. I mean, how about in South Africa, where the black government, it's all black, is confiscating land of white farmers. Okay, just going in and taking it. Well, we're going to just go. Well, is that illegal? Of course it is. That's definitely illegal. By way of law, it's illegal. But nobody says about that. But, you know, that's the kind of world we are in these days. Now, I'm going to have to get to something. I would like this to end, and I do not want to talk about this every week. It would be disconcerting, depressing, cause us to be despondent, and that's not the life we are supposed to live. We're supposed to live a joyous life, because consider that everything we're going through now, eons of time preceding this, people have gone through discrimination, executions, persecution, you name it. I mean, there has just never really been peace on earth. Except for there was one, a night a couple thousand years ago. There was peace on earth. and goodwill toward men. I love that passage out of, I think it's in Zechariah, where these horses are assigned, four horses, report back as to, they go around the world somehow, and they report back, and the angel asks, well, what's happening? And they say, all the world is resting peacefully. I love that passage. Resting peacefully? It sounds like heaven, doesn't it? Doesn't mean sleeping, just means they're resting, and they're at peace. I don't know how it takes place after Christ's return in Jerusalem, but it talks about the old men on the conversing on the porches, I think, and the children playing in the streets. I don't know how that happens, but during the millennial reign of 1,000 years, Jesus' return, there's a millennial reign. We know that people get older and die, and it's because when Jesus returns, not all of the enemy, all of the enemy is vanquished, but not all of humanity is vanquished. That's very, very clear from Scripture. So there will still be children born, and there will be people getting old, presumably passing away. And then I can't get into what else is going on in that thousand-year reign as much as I would absolutely love to, because I got to bring you some news. Right now, that's not where we are. And I look at this violence. I keep going back to Genesis 6, that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. I got to get to that program. I promised it. I am not there yet about what the corruption means, because it says they were corrupted in the flesh. I'll let you just take a wild guess. What was going on then, which is an indication of what will be going on when Jesus returns. Yeah. Well, as it was, what will it be at your return? Well, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's your clue. What was it like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, we know that that behavior is increasing, becoming increasingly intimidating. So has the violence. I mean, the nations, I mean, Obama spent a good part of the time traveling around trying to get other nations, particularly in Africa, to embrace abortion. So the death cult spreads. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. So you know who's behind it all, don't you? Well, this last week, I'm going to run through these things because I'm actually getting tired of reporting on them. And I want to get on to something else, but this comes to a conclusion of sorts today. So you get this Katie Davenport. She was reporting on anti-ICE and Antifa behavior in Portland here a couple nights ago. So she gets assaulted by a militant protester who smashed her in the face with a pole, gave her a black eye, and then on the other end of that pole was a Palestinian flag. So she walked away bruised with a black eye at the minimum, but the violent flag-waving girl walked away free. When they got the cops, came back to deal with it, the cops wouldn't touch her because she said, "Don't you touch me, I'm underage." So what? Who cares if you're underage? You still ought to know better. There's your the Palestinian boldness is ridiculous in this country. That was just Palestine. And if you look at, I'm going to jump here a little bit because there's different kinds of savagery going on and selling out of the country. And I got this thing about Philadelphia. Philadelphia yesterday raised the Chinese communist flag. That's right. Because October 1 is National Day for the Chinese Communist Party. And they're celebrating a regime of death and destruction. As one person from the Tibetan Association of Philadelphia said, quote, "The red flag of the Chinese Communist Party is not a symbol of culture. It's the emblem of brutal totalitarian regime. This regime is responsible for the persecution and murder of millions. the destruction of thousands of monasteries, the ongoing cultural genocide of my people in Tibet, the Uyghurs, if I pronounce that right, in Xinjiang, if I pronounce that right. They fly their flag here in Philadelphia City Hall. If that is to legitimize terror and betray the dissidents who have desperately sought freedom. My goodness sakes. That's the communist flag flying in Philadelphia. You go back, there is that. There's the rage of the Palestinians in this country are taking up the Palestinian cause, so to speak, which are all over the place. You've got this rage that's occurring certainly among the anti-ICE protesters. And listen to this. This is, what's her name? Sandberger? I forgot her name. Anyway, she's running against, I've drawn a blank here. The two parties, two women running for governor in Virginia. Black woman, the Republican. The white woman, I think, is Sandberger, something to that effect. And Spanberger. I did have it in my notes. I just couldn't find it. Abigail Spanberger. She has told the people, because of ICE and other things, quote, let your rage fuel you. And they claim that their rhetoric is not giving the incentive to people to just unload, let their rage go on uncontrolled. I mean, rage by definition is not controlled. Jonathan Turley said, quote, there was barely a respite from the rage rhetoric after the assassination of Charlie Kirk and then the sniper attack on the ICE facility. Gavin Newsom is back this week to calling his opponents fascists, while other Democratic politicians are back to calling ICE fascists. We are seeing the result of rage rhetoric all around us. With the assassination of Kirk, the sniper attack in Texas against the ICE agents, in addition to the violent protests around the country, rage allows you to deny the humanity of those with whom you disagree. Excuse me, I'm not exactly quoting him. I'm actually correcting his improper grammar. So, excuse me, it's something. If I speak with the wrong grammar, I hear my mother. So, there are these two sisters who caught on the video destroying a memorial to Kirk. They're Carrie and Kaylee Rollo. They were arrested. And what do? They immediately opened a GoFundMe site, because they got caught destroying a memorial. They opened the GoFundMe site to call for donations for fighting fascism. And they've collected thousands of dollars as a reward for their rage. It goes on to say, Democratic politicians have spent months ratcheting up their rhetoric against ICE agents who have suffered more than a 100% increase in attacks, including the recent sniper attack. Gavin Newsom, among others, is simply using rage rhetoric. And that is absolutely the fact. Go on here. Julio Rosas is a correspondent who was capturing these shouts for violence on video. I can't tell you what they are because they're not really very smart people. They're full of rage, so all you get are F-bombs and more F-bombs. And interestingly, I saw a video tonight just before doing this program of the Portland protesters. Of course, Gavin Newsom signed the bill outlawing ICE agents from using masks, right? That's because what does he want to do? It's obvious. He wants to be able to identify those people, and then they can dox those people and go and burn their house down, shoot their kids, whatever they're going to do, at the least graffiti, deny them sleep every single night. What would be the purpose of identifying who they are? Why don't I just get on the radio here and give you Gavin Newsom's home address? I'm not doing that. But what would that imply? You know what that implies. Violence. Anyway, so he kind of captures this thing. I don't know. You know what? I got to get to the next one. I can't even stand some of the own pieces I have here. So how about this one? This is another Palestinian deal outside Houston, Texas, where they have hung two mannequins with a rope. And over above the executions of these mannequins is a Mexican flag flying. And unless the message isn't clear enough, below the two mannequins are two coffins. This is a grotesque mock execution of a man and a woman being hanged by rope underneath a Mexican flag with coffins underneath them. Why would we expect anything other than violence when that is, in fact, what is simply taking over this country? You get to this, I mentioned this before, about the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan. The beginning persecution of Christians and Jews in Dearborn. This proves what I have said about Islam for a long time, which I don't need to repeat that, or I'm not going to be able to get this story in here. But the mayor, Abdullah Hamoud, scolded a Anglo, Edward Ted Barham, at a city council meeting, telling him, although you live here, you're not welcome here. Well, he was opposing the naming of some streets, which were named after a guy that promoted Hezbollah and Hamas terrorism. That's right. Jewish leaders are calling Dearborn, Michigan now America's jihad capital because it's under a dominating influence of Islam, and they have basically taken over. Their banners have been flown in the city for weeks by the city for Ramadan. The city refused to present any religious displays for Christians or for Jews. City emails include the crescent moon, honored by Muslims. They got a greeting, Ramadan Kareem, downtown Dearborn in Arabic and English. Then they've got these fundraising drives by the city police and fire departments that sold shirts showing Islamic religious messages. Now, this goes back to the message, the program from about 4 or 5 weeks ago, when I said, I'm going to sum this part of it up quickly. In the end, all the nations turn against Israel, all of them. How does the United States turn against Israel? It becomes dominated, like all the other countries, mostly in Western Europe and others, under the influence or direct domination of Islam. And what does Scripture say about the persecutors in the last day? Jesus said, those who persecute you will think that they're doing God a favor. Who does that describe? Only one religious faith, Islam. They're the only ones that they think they're doing God a favor by killing Christians and Jews. And the pattern is the same. They're fine participating as a dinky minority, voting. And then, you know, they'll play the race card game, and then they maybe have some lawsuits, but they'll run for office. Then they'll start hitting directly on Jews and Christians, as this loser in Dearborn is doing. And then he'll basically say, oh, screw democracy, kill the infidels. That is the direction. It's been the direction of every Muslim takeover of any country ever. There are no democratic Muslim countries. None. Well, anyway. So, there's a baseball player. I'm sorry, a baseball coach down in Houston, Texas, who got shot a few weeks ago because he was praying for his baseball team. And who gets arrested? Well, there are three guys who get arrested. There are three Irishmen. Their names are Mahmoud Abdulassam, Habaha, Ahmed Mawed, and then Mustafa Mohammed Matagra. I think that sounds Irish, right? Thrill Skies. What are they doing here? Shooting somebody because he's saying a prayer? They aren't waiting for an official takeover in some places. This is the degree of the wickedness that is upon us by a death cult that, you know, the left has flamed this, but look, it comes from homosexuals. It comes from just radical leftists. It comes from the Palestinians. It comes from those who hate ICE. You go right on down the line, you think, my goodness, Lord, we're surrounded by the enemy. Is this Custer's last stand in Christianity in the United States? Well, maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. The question is, what do we do with the time that we have? I mentioned it at the beginning, and this is the key for tomorrow's program, the Sunday morning program. Are you doing all that you can do? And if you are doing all that you can do, are you doing all that you can do better than what you've ever been doing before? That's all. The only thing we really want to hear are what those seven words. I hope it's seven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, it is seven. Amazing like that. Seven, the number of completeness. All done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because things I have been, they're ramping up. I don't know how it turns around. Donald Trump is a cultural warrior, a political warrior, a constitutional warrior. He's not a religious warrior. He's not the pastor in chief. He can do what he can do. And yet, absent a revival, our best days are not ahead. They are not. I don't know how they could be. There is no coming together when the enemy has taken on so many forms, and all because somebody, where Donald Trump is spiritually, I don't know. Of course, I hope he goes to heaven. But where he is spiritually is less of an issue than the fact that he speaks out on spiritually correct. He's speaking correctly about spiritual topics. That's enough to get labeled. It's enough to cause people to have hissy fits on the light side and executions, attacks, assassinations on the worst side. And why? Because they're convicted of their sin. That's why one of the first things to go in a persecution is not your death. It's not you. It's your freedom of speech. It's what you say that gets you in trouble. That leads to something else, doesn't it? I forgot who the Soviet dissident was that said, we have freedom of speech in Russia. What we don't have is freedom the day after we make that speech. So you see, that doesn't start with execution. It starts with persecution against the free speech. That's why we've had all the censorship under Biden, why the left, no matter what form they are, from the homosexual contingent to the Palestinians, Muslims, they love lawfare too, for the sole purpose of shutting down Christians and Jews, while they themselves are kind of in the catbird seat because nobody has the guts to sue them because they're afraid they're going to, I was going to say wake up with their head gone, but I guess they wouldn't wake up. Their head will be, it's violent. In the end, it's all violent. And that's what the world is going to come to because that's what the Bible says it's going to come to. The end times of the remaking and the judgment on this earth. It won't be by water. We know that. The Lord promised that. But the elements that brought him to humankind fatigue, he was tired of what the world had become in such a short time. Those same elements are what rise up in the days of the Antichrist manifested, but what will rise up in the end time to come against Jews for just because they've always been a target, Christians because our Christianity is a product of basically a Jewish gospel made for everybody, but propagated by Jews. Thank God. That's what's going to bring about the wrath of the enemy. And when is it going to come? I don't know. All I do know is that our job, in the meantime, really doesn't change. Don't be fearful. The word says that to not be caught in fear. Fear is bondage. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Those are our gifts. And so no matter what happens to us, it will be tolerable because he said he's not going to test us or tempt us beyond that which he knows we can handle. But with that temptation, he will provide a way of escape called, I'm out of here. I'm going to blow this pop stand. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Sit tall, the saddle of America. Will write. Can you ride for the brand? Brand of Jesus Christ.